Hello and welcome back to In Bed with Lisa. Today's special guest is one that got me very excited, and I was getting ready so like this morning because I've been following him for so long on Instagram and I've read his book. This is the amazing Kenneth Play. Kenneth, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to talk to you, Lisa.
You know why I'm so flippin' excited to talk to you? Because you are an international sex expert, sex educator. You've been like featured all over the place in media. I mentioned your book, Beyond Satisfied, and you were named the world's greatest sex hacker by GQ.
It still feels so embarrassed whenever people introduce me that way. I guess I will get used to it someday.
No, you got to own it. It's incredible. But yes, I really enjoyed your book. I loved your candid opening particularly. And I wondered if we could start there, if that's okay. It was such a vulnerable intro. So for anybody who hasn't read Kenneth's book, and you really should, he was very open about being sexually insecure, right? Initially. And then you moved to this, you went through a particular journey. Would you be able to share a little bit about that with us?
So I was born in Hong Kong and I moved to the state when I was 11. So my like first exposure to sex is to American hardcore porn. If you could imagine, it's like a very shocking experience as a teenage boy from Hong Kong moving here. And all of a sudden you see just like monster cock penis. It's the only representation of sex. And then you will look at your own equipment. You go like, well, if I don't look like that, and if I don't have that equipment, then I must be not enough in the sexual realm. So I grew up with all that insecurity and belief. And also in the US, Asian men are like butt of every penis jokes and so many sexual things that Asian male have to deal with that sort of cultural script. So with that, I was also a very sexual person. So it's such a conflict, right? You have all this sexual desire, and then you also feel like you're not enough. And then it's something that you don't think you could change. So when it comes to your penis size or how you look and all those things, I mean, like then I adapt a mindset. If I work really hard on the fitness side, if I get really fit, and maybe my life will be better. If I make a lot of money, have a six pack. So I eventually achieved those things by transforming my body. I became a personal trainer. But even with more money, with a six pack, I still feel that deep insecurity that I could never overcome in the bedroom. And then not till my late 20s when I discovered this whole sex positive community, whole sex party world, and also sex science and so many BDSM, Tantra, that I learned that all that stuff, all the myths about sex is completely wrong. But I also discovered some surprising new insight to sexuality that I never thought, that I can't believe no one teaches people on how to do it, you know? Yeah. And like, we make it so complicated, like women's pleasure and orgasm is so complicated, it's impossible, everyone's so different. Like none of that instruction will fly in the fitness industry, because you can't just say, imagine we tell women, oh, like women fitness is impossible to figure out. That is a crazy statement, but men are easy. You know, it's not true. So I wanted to do a deep dive, and I overcame all my insecurity and have this crazy life that I live right now. So I would definitely say that I'm like the world's most unlikely sex educator porn star that you would find on Pornhub.
Oh, but it's so awesome that you did that. You went through that journey and then you're like, okay, I need to share this with the world. Because you're right. Women's orgasm is like written off. Oh, they don't have an orgasm. Oh, it's because they can't. They must be anorgasmic. We don't even try. And then if a man wants to have sex a certain way and that's the only way that they're going to have sex and she's not experiencing pleasure, then we're like, oh, well, just get on with it.
I know. And it's terrible. And also the answer is so obvious and is so available, and yet like we just pretend that we don't know. It's kind of crazy in my mind. Yeah.
How would you word that answer that is so obvious and available?
Well, I don't know if it's a battle between the sexes or of you know, male versus female, but I do think female orgasmic potential and pleasure capacity is, I think by default, is better than male. Like many female body could have multiple orgasm, have extended orgasm. It's much easier without the refractory period. And yet their idea that, you know, female pleasure is more difficult is insane to me, right? So when I dive deep into the neuroscience or learn what the practitioner actually do with like Tantra and BDSM, I realize that there is a scientific answer, and also like there's a lot of ancient wisdom that we could tap into. And both those of those it's not just two, but there's so many discipline, but ultimately we figure out sexual pleasure a long time ago, and also we have some new understanding, but and yet we just like make it like human likes to eat. So throughout human history, human have hacked food, right? Like it's happened everywhere. We know how to cook, so sex is it can be good, and we kind of lost that art, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the first person who discovered to make a loaf of bread, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now we take it for granted.
Right, it's
How did
magic.
they make those things? So sex is kind of like a recipe. It's knowing those different things. It's hacking, like you say, and leaning on all of that ancient wisdom and the science as well. So I know that you are inspired a bit by Tim Ferriss, and I really love Tim Ferriss's vibe too. So I think that's why your book really appealed to me, because it's just like small tweaks that highly improve what you're already doing, right?
Yeah, I was very lucky. I met him when I was still in the fitness industry. When he was writing the 4-hour body, he needed a photo shoot for his book. So I helped him with that photo shoot. That's when I met him. And that really inspired me to actually write this book. Sometimes I joke like I wrote the 4-hour sex, you know, like if there's a 4-hour Tim Ferriss book, is figure out their 80-20. Like what is the 20% of sex skills and technique that people need to acquire to get at least 80% of the results. And what I realized that if people really learn that very important 20%, they're actually the top 1% of lover because the bar is set so low right now. So they just have some understanding. They be killing it out there, yeah.
You're right, the bar is set so low for the majority of people that they're not even interested in learning how to do it because they don't think they can. But something that I know you say is that great lovers are not born, they're made, right?
Yeah, so you know, we've been sold this idea that you have to be a certain way. So in order for you to be a good lover, you have to be like at least 6 feet tall, have a six pack, have a 6-inch cock, and last for at least 6 hours, 6+ inch cocks, last 6 hours, right? So we've been sold this like idea that 666 is all you need, and if, as long as you have those things, then it automatically mean it's more pleasurable. And obviously that is not true, right? I'm not saying that those things don't help, right? Like being fit or wealthy or being good looking gets you in the door sometime. But especially when it comes to cock size, it's more about a fit, right? Than bigger is always better. So it really comes down to the fit. But do my research is that most human fit most human. Only the extreme cases on the outlier on the edge of the bell curve that we have some trouble. But majority of the people, 95%, works really well. So
I love it. Yeah, that I completely agree with you. Penis size is just like vaginas have different sizes, different depths, different lengths. Penises have different lengths. And if it doesn't fit, then there's, you know, then there are solutions you can try and other things you can try. But for the majority of us, penis size really isn't everything. It really is just one piece of the bigger puzzle. And a big piece of that puzzle is actually feeling confident, right? I think confidence is more important than most things in the bedroom. So what would you say? Do you have any hacks for confidence? How can people feel more confident when they get undressed and get down to it?
well, ultimately, you would develop real lasting confidence when you are competent. So there's no hacks that I think will bypass that. Like you have to know what you're doing. So when you are Michael Jordan on the basketball court or you're Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen, then you feel that confidence. So what I ultimately teach my student is to help them acquire those techniques and skill, and they could express themselves. So it's not to fuck exactly the same way, but find ways that is uniquely express their sexuality. But there's some foundation. So if you think about cooking, you will still have to understand this, like protein, carbohydrate, and fat. You have to understand steaming, frying, like acid, salt, sweet. Like you have to understand those principles in order for you to make a good dish, right? Mm-hmm. So same thing with sexuality. You have to understand that, like she has to, if you're a hetero couple, your partner has to be relaxed enough and feel safe enough and not distracted in the moment in order for arousal to happen. So imagine you're trying to turn her on, but you're trying to turn her on by annoying her. That's not going to do it, right? So you have to create the environment in order for this to respond. So it's not very different than you are a gardener. In order for the seed to grow, the seed knows what to do if you provide the right environment, but you have to know what the right environment is for this to happen. So when people really study this thing, it's no longer a mystery. It's not like magic anymore. It kind of like, this is why it happens. Yeah. And I think it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And like you say, we have this information. It's just that people aren't choosing to learn it. They're not taking those steps. They're just accepting mediocre sex because they think that's kind of all it should be. So one of the things that I noticed is that you focus on making women feel good. And you think that that helps them to experience pleasure. And as a woman, I really resonate with that. Like if you feel good, if you feel desired, if you feel relaxed and safe and comfortable, then that goes such a long way. Could you give some advice to people who might be wondering like how to get their wife in the mood or how to get their female bodied partner in the mood? What can they do to start to make that easier?
I think one of my favorite insight, and obviously some of those advice that I'm giving is not like a gross generalization that it works for all scenario, but that we do see some patterns according to the data and research. So one of the things that we found for a lot of hetero couples is that when it comes to female sexual selection, it's not like why dick pic don't respond. Why when a straight guy just sends someone a dick pic is not arousing is that a lot of female arousal is about her feeling sexy about herself because she's the one who is being selected. So your job is to make her feel sexy, not show her your dick. That showing her that you arouse doesn't arouse her, right? But when she wants to feel really hot and then she wants your dick to get hot because she feels really hot, that's when it's magic. So when I talk about arousal, I go like your job is to make sure that she feels beautiful. But the neuroscience behind it is even more interesting is that if you have a body image issue, then you'd be hiding things and you're inhibiting your system. Mm-hmm. So you are suppressing the arousal because you feel either shame or you're like hiding something. So when you could help your partner feel like the sexiest fucking thing alive, then that arousal really comes out. But as soon as you have that understanding, then you approach that situation completely differently.
That is so good. And you know, this also just brings me back to like you were saying about penis shame and insecurity around the penis. A lot of women and people with vulvas feel very ashamed of their vulva, how it looks and smells and tastes. And so that can prevent them from enjoying oral sex or even allowing oral sex to happen, right? So I guess that puts the partner in a position of power to empower their partner to feel comfortable if they just tell them like, oh, your pussy is so gorgeous, or, you know, just enjoying, truly verbalizing how they feel. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, this fear of objectifying your partner is really yucky when it's uninvited and unelicited that you're hitting on someone when they don't want to be hit on. So it's not the hitting on is not the problem, right? Like objectifying, adoring, just appreciating her beauty is that you just have to do it in the right moment when the timing is right, right? So then having your partner feel extremely desirable is arousing by itself. So understanding that makes a huge difference. So that's the psychological aspect of it. So I look at it like there is the software and the hardware, right? So what psychological, emotional space that people need to be on and what physical sensation that feels good and how can they approach that? So if they could see both parts is really important.
Mm. Fantastic. So would you share with us some of your favorite sex hacks or the ones that you think that a listener today could try tonight if they felt like it?
I think one of the biggest complaint that I would say majority of women would experience is that because we've been sold that penis to vagina sex intercourse is the like number one sex that's real sex, and me going in and out should be the most pleasurable thing that she would experience. And that's true for a much smaller percentage of women than you would think. I mean, it's less than 20%. There's so many different studies, but let's just say it's in the 15 to 20% range, and that's being generous. That act alone is being good. And when people realize that they're, imagine you go on a date with a straight guy and you tell them, hey, I know normally every time you have an orgasm, you are rubbing the head of your penis and the shaft of your penis. But today, I'm just going to peg you, right? I'm not going to let you touch your penis and I expect you to have an orgasm. Not going to happen, right? So I think many or most women will require some type of external stimulation that having a consistent rhythmic stimulation of the clitoris externally is super helpful. Right. And some people could do it from internal sensation alone. But the distinction between external sensation versus internal is that the external sensation is very sensitive. So it's like the tip of your penis, just like the tip of your finger in your mouth, right? Is immediate, is very location based, is very sensitive. The internal sensation is radiating and slower, and there's like a little bit of a delay. And there are two different flavors that you could obviously combine together. So one of the other sex acts besides touching it externally, that when you're doing any internal touches, pressure works better than friction. So if you're just going in and out, it doesn't necessarily provide those nerve, the right stimulation. So pressure works a lot better by squeezing. And then there, which spot, right, on a woman that she respond to, it has to do with her, what I call pleasure wiring, literally how the nerve lays on her specific genital, vulvas, and internally. So your job is to identify specifically how she is wired, not just how her vulva looks, but like the wiring underneath. So if you look at any phone, you still have to press where the button is in order to hit the button. You have to locate the buttons, but the button location varies slightly different between different phones. But once you know where the button is, it will work every time you press it.
Yes. And the thing is, women don't come with an instruction manual, and they often haven't explored themselves either.
Yeah, so there's this whole learning curve on like pleasure mapping, knowing exactly how the nerves is laid out, you know exactly how. And also this could be my own experience, but I don't think we've been taught how to communicate sexually effectively to people to describe what we like or to have the lexicon to really like, okay, this is how I like to be touched. So when I created a course, I didn't want to give them some generic answer like communicate, communicate, and communicate or ask and ask. So I have a very detailed system on how to systematically figure out what someone's preferences are. So it doesn't have to be guesswork and it could be so literal. And effective that way.
Incredible. Oh my goodness. Kenneth, the way you speak, I could swear you have a vagina. You just understand. You've got some insider secrets there. You've obviously created a safe space for pleasure mapping and communication. So that is powerful. I love that you're able to like put it into these words that make sense and communicate it to everybody in a way that is not confusing. Like just follow these steps.
You know, the difference sometimes is so little. So there's a rule in golfing, it's called the 2 millimeter rule. So if you hit the ball just slightly off 2 millimeter, the ball would travel so far and you completely miss the hole, right? So how do you could literally go from ow to wow in a just 2 millimeter away if you get the right spot. So you just have to identify how that person specifically like it. Just that it's the same way that human likes food. Some people like their food spicy, some people like it sweet. It depends on where they grew up it depends, but most people will still genetically like to eat fat, sugar, and carbohydrates. So if you understand those principles, then you could create that unique cuisine that works for this palate, right? But there's still science behind it, so it's not random. And there's popular dishes for a reason. And most good restaurant, most people will like for the same reason.
Oh, you make it so like accessible, this information. You were made for this, truly. Okay, so let's go back to that hack you mentioned about penis in vagina. And I totally agree with you that for the majority of people with vulvas, they're not going to experience the most pleasure. However, I actually have seen your course on Beducated on positions. I wonder if you would share a little bit of insight into that because you demonstrated positions and hacks to make them so much better than they could be otherwise.
And one of the key things about position is one is about the angle of entry. So if your penis also doesn't, it's not like it's coming off your pelvic bone and it's stiff, right? So where their entry of the vaginal tunnel to where the penis is, the angle changes makes a huge difference for people's experience. So that once getting the angle right is really important. So everybody is a little bit different, but if you could do like a little bit of physics and math, then it really like you could see how much tilt of the hips that you need to do in order for that to happen. The second thing that I think is so important is that whatever position that you choose, ultimately you want to find one that you are comfortable enough to provide a consistent rhythmic sensation. So if you have a position that you can only last for like 10 seconds, completely useless, right? You want one that you be able to consistently do without too much strain. So the idea of hacking, a lot of it is about what is the least amount of effort I need to spend to max out on the pleasure, because you want to reserve all the energy on like consistency and rhythm. So if you spend most of that resources on just being tired, it's not smart. So I always talk about like position yourself where you're the like able to comfortably perform this for a long period of time is actually quite important as well.
That is so important. And it goes for everything, really, because it also goes for oral sex. I mean, when you're giving a blowjob, for example, and you want to, where are you going to be positioned? Can you stay there comfortably for a long time? Like, are your knees going to get sore? Can you just put a cushion? Will that improve things? And I
You know,
think,
that's yeah. That's funny because it comes from my fitness background. It is like those biomechanics is so important, but we just don't use the same sort of all the different discipline that we learn from other domains like physics, neuroscience, like even fighting or creativity, like our habits, all those hacks that we just don't use apply the same those knowledge into sex, but they are so useful. So when you talk about optimizing a position, right, there is science to it. And also like if you have to spend a lot of mental resources to maintain that position, then you cannot use the same bandwidth to focus on other things. So you really want to be very stingy about how you use those resources is how I
Oh
see it.
my word, that is so true. Because then you're going to be reducing your creativity or your ability to make a connection with your partner if you're so worried about, oh, but my back is getting kind of sore and my hip is getting creaky.
The other most important hack, at least for a lot of straight couples, you have to imagine like, so if you are born with a penis, then you have this experience of feeling your arousal, seeing your erection, and then you are touching your penis when you masturbate to provide yourself with some sensation, then that leads to orgasm, right? So if you think about the same principle, you are a female and the idea of partner sex is being penetrated. So if this act all of a sudden become passive, you're just laying there and you're receiving whatever sensory input your partner is doing, that might not be the most effective way for your brain because your brain is so used to moving to generate sensation. So it's actually really important for your partner to learn how to be in a position when your partner could fuck you and ride you in a way that she could generate the motion to create the sensation. And that's a more direct way to tap into her pleasure where there's more control. So I'm not saying one is better than the other, but that's two different flavor, right? And so it's not always passive and one person is doing something. You could also just lay there, right? And and be useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And grind your own hips. And I think it's a simple hack as well is think about what you like when you're masturbating and how can you replicate that? Because I think for a lot of men, they will do what they need to do. They will get the angle, they will get the depth, they will get the speed that they would prefer. But most women, as you said, are often passive. They're not making sure the angle is right, because you can also move your hips, women, you know, you can also move, you can also grind, you can also touch your clitoris, you're allowed to touch your clitoris.
Yes, so encourage, one of the other hack is encourage your partner to touch her own clitoris while she's being fucked. That will be a combo, use a vibrator when that is happening. It just, if you watch even most like gay sex, when two men are having sex, like even the one being penetrated, there still be a lot of penile stimulation, because that's just how the neuroscience work. It's not that is, and I like I've seen some guys when like she's touching her own clit, like he would slap her hand. I'm going like, well, what's wrong with you? That's not how it work. Imagine like that happens in reverse.
Because I need to take a moment there.
Right?
I can't believe that.
Like there's so much pride into like my penis supposed to be the magic stick. And the ironic thing is that if you start being really good in sex, your brain is also an association machine. So if you want your cock to be the magic key to the kingdom, then the more orgasm consistently that she's having, the more that penis become what is represented to that experience.
Oh, wow. There's so much tied into the penis. And interestingly, I had a conversation last week with Justin Dubin, who's a urologist. And we were speaking about how that you know, identifying with the penis and how it works becomes pivotal to some people's identity. You know, that's who they are. They feel that's who they are. And that prevents them from seeking help when there are any difficulties with erections, for example, or with early ejaculation. But the fact is, as you've said, sex isn't all about putting a penis in a vagina. There are so many other parts to it. Penises are great. We love the cock, but also we love the whole entire person, and we would love for the person to value themselves as much as they value their penis. Wouldn't that be incredible?
I always say the three B's to avoid in sex is don't be basic, boring, and bad. And I think being basic and boring is actually has more to do with, like, you know, Wednesday Martin, one of my favorite sex writer and author, wrote book Untrue, and how boredom is such a libido killer for females, right? So you have to understand that you can't do the same old shit. Even if it was good yesterday, you can't keep cooking the same dish. So you have to learn how to create this, you know, repertoire of like recipe that you could spice it up. So you actually can serve different food. But it's about rotating your best dishes. Like, you don't have to do one new every time, but if you have at least, you know, seven in your pocket, then you could have one every different, you know, every different night of the week.
I mean, that would be wonderful. I think, like you say, people tend to go through the same motions. They almost have a script that they follow. Like, this is how we initiate. This is how we begin. This is the little bit of foreplay that we do, and then we do this, and then it's over when this happens. It's like the same old script that we follow. So if there's little bits of spice that you can add, and herbs and different cooking techniques, because I love your metaphors, then it's not as hard as people imagine. Like you keep saying, these are not rocket science, actually. It's just a case of learning them and developing the competence to boost your confidence.
But it's also needs to be so literal. Like, I know it's hard if people are just listening on the radio, but like in my book and in my courses, I really show literally how to do it, like diagram exactly how I move my hand in a sexual scenario. So I don't talk about those things as theories and concept. I literally demo on how you do it step by step. Yeah. And I also show you like real game footage on this is how it happens in a normal sex section. So you could see the same thing being applied literally. And I think that is really important when it comes to sex ed.
Absolutely, that is important. And that's something that is quite unique to you because you do demonstrate, you do physical demonstrations. Could you tell us a little bit more about your courses and your book and how people can find them and what they'll learn there?
I recently just did a big media post with Vice where they shot my squirting masterclass live. So if you could imagine I would give like a TED Talk like lecture for the first 25% of it. So all the theories, concept behind squirting, and then I do a demo with my demo model live in front of everybody. And then the third part is all my participant would have their partner and they try to do that skill right then and there. Now, I know this
Wow.
sounds like a completely crazy thing, and I can't believe they put that episode on YouTube as well. But
I gotta check it out.
it really show how I teach it to like everyday couple and how to do that. And the most surprising thing to people is that how natural that actually feel. We want to be guided through this experience, and yet we just so anti-sex ed, right? In the way that like help people get better. And also, it's not just getting better, it's going from good to great. Like I'm not trying to get people like just not doing bad things. I want them to be extraordinary, and there's so much room for that.
That is incredible. And like you say, otherwise we're in the dark. We can learn and we can read, but it's difficult to actually understand it unless you're seeing it in action. But it's a difficult like boundary to cross where you're actually demonstrating sex. And then that's something that you have embraced. And you know, like you said, you never imagined that you'd be this sex educator and porn star, but here you are, and people are loving it, and you seem to be thriving in your life and in your professional life and your personal life. It seems like things are going so well, and it's incredible to see. It's a huge transformation.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, like l really literal. I will show you diagrams with a QR code, and you see things in like in motion internally and externally. So, and that all also has to do with my fitness career in the past, because I really what I focus on is helping people acquire skills. So it doesn't matter if people understand nutrition or understand fitness, they also need to do it. So I think it's the combination. I want to make sure they understand it, and I want to make sure they're able to execute it consistently so they get result. So when I apply that to sex ed, then it just all mat like all clicks. But the most beautiful thing on teaching sex instead of fitness is that sex is so much more immediate. Fitness takes too long. I could go from I never had an orgasm to I'm having orgasm of my life. So I trade that for transformation. So
That's so
yeah.
true. But it's amazing how the analogy really does work, because as you can learn from reading something how to do an exercise, but it's not the same as a diagram, and that's not the same as a video or having somebody actually doing it. You're completely right. Those two things work very well together. The fact that you started in fitness, I think, has been a huge benefit to all of us who now get to experience your learnings. Your teachings. So, where can we find your courses? Are they on your website?
They're on my website, kennethplay.com. So there's Beyond Satisfied Pro. That's the video course that has over 70 videos showing all the techniques live. And then obviously there's Beyond Satisfied the book. And I have an audiobook, ebook. This is the special hardcover, special edition. This one looks wet, so I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, I love
And
it. It really
I'm
does
happy.
look wet.
I will ship you a copy. Happy to do that. Yeah.
Goodness, I'm so honored. I would be delighted to have it positioned here, up here, so everyone can see. Thank you. That's so kind. And where can people find you online? Because online, you are flipping awesome. I know I love your Instagram, but where's your favorite place to hang out?
KennethPlay.com is the easiest to find me. Then all the other my books, my program, my social media all be connected through there.
Wonderful. Kenneth, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your expertise so generously. It's been such a pleasure. I've definitely picked up a couple of things, and I have to say, I was so keen to talk to you, but I was like, I'm probably going to know most of this. Ha, no, you definitely slipped in a few little extras. I was like, oh, that's good. So
Thank
thank you
you.
very much for being with us today.